Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030. That is Friday, October the 11th, 2013. Should be a beautiful weekend. And, I mean, 70 degrees for the high. I like it. Hope you are having a great day. Looking forward to a very good weekend. We thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday, 12:04 to 1. And we stream the show for you at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we post the program, making our podcast programs available at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. We also have a link on the Green Valley News, gvnews.com. We're very prominently displayed on the homepage of Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Ken Bennett. Mr. Bennett is the Arizona Secretary of State who announced this week that he is directing election officials in the state to separate their federal elections ballots from state and local races to keep those who cannot prove citizenship from voting in Arizona races. Joining me to question the Secretary of State, who is on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix, Dan Scheer is here. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for Secretary of State Bennett, you can join us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. And we also invite you to follow us and join us on Facebook. Well, this shift creating a dual voting system for Arizona was triggered by an opinion on Monday from State Attorney General Tom Horn, who said the move is necessary to comply with an Arizona voter mandate as well as federal law. Secretary of State Ken Bennett with us on the live line. Secretary, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well, and thank you for being with us. Do you agree, then, with the Attorney General Tom Horn on this issue?
Well, I do agree that, unfortunately, this is not, this is not something that anyone in the election community wants to do, but we're kind of between a rock and a hard spot where the voters of Arizona have said that to participate in Arizona elections, you have to show proof of citizenship. That was Prop 200 back in 2004. And then earlier this summer, the Supreme Court ruled that if a voter registered using the simplified NVRA form, the national federal form, and doesn't attach proof of citizenship, that we can't deny that person from voting in the federal races. So at first we thought, okay, we're going to have to figure out how this is going to work. And we started talking to election officials around the state, and we were all saying, you know, the last thing we want to do is have a bifurcated system. But as we've kind of worked through it for the last few months, it became almost impossible to comply with both decisions without doing that. And so we asked the Attorney General for a legal opinion, and they came back and said that, yeah, you probably have to.
Let me ask you, are any other states in the country doing something like this?
I'm not aware yet. There are other states that have something similar to Arizona's Prop 200, where you have to show proof of citizenship to participate in those states' elections. Whether those states have been part of a federal lawsuit, like Arizona was, challenging whether we should or should not accept the federal form registrations when they come in without proof of citizenship, I don't know that. But so we could be the only one, but not. But there's several other states that could potentially be in the same situation.
Here is Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star.
I wanted to ask about, from the voter's point of view, mm-hmm. How are you supposed to know which form you filled out years ago? Is there a way to do that so you don't get yourself to the polls and
right.
only to find that you can't vote?
Well, the best way, Sarah, for anyone to ask any question about their voter registration is to call the county recorder's office in the county that they're registered and confirm if they do happen to be in this very recent. This has only really kind of come up in the last couple of years as this lawsuit was moving its way through the federal court system. The Ninth Circuit ruled a year or two ago that we had to accept these federal forms, whether or not they had the proof of citizenship attached. And so it's only within the last year or two that the counties have been keeping track of when people registered using the federal form and did not include something to prove citizenship. Now, let's be clear that most of them actually do. On the federal form are some boxes where it asks the person to voluntarily provide a driver's license number or a tribal identification number or passport number. And 80 to 90% of voters who register, even with the federal form, they provide one of those numbers, which allows the county recorder to verify citizenship. And so most of the people who have used these forms are registered with the regular group of voters. Citizenship has been verified, and they'll participate in all of the elections, state, federal, and local. There's only a handful of voters, now when I say handful, it's maybe a couple thousand at the most from what we can tell from all, from the 15 county recorders around the state. And I guess that's, in one respect, a little more than a handful, but out of 3.2 million registered voters in Arizona, it's less than 0.1%. So most likely, if a person has been registered for more than a few years, they are most likely in the regular pool of voters and will have no problem voting in the federal, state, and local races. If you have registered within the last probably 2 years using the federal form, you might want to call the county recorder where you reside and see if they have you in that special group.
So would you have to re-register then? How do you, given the...
Well, if you provided the number that maybe you forgot or chose not to put on the form, or if you gave them something that allowed them to verify the citizenship, you would simply be moved from the small group into the regular group and everything would be fine.
And what's the deadline for, because we're coming up on an important election, what is the deadline for people to do this?
Well, I think the deadline for registering to vote in an Arizona election is 29 days prior to that election. So if there's some local elections going on there now, whatever people were registered 29 days before the election, they are what they are. And if you're in that little suspense group of maybe not having proved citizenship and you want to make sure that you're going to be able to vote for them, then call right away and provide whatever information is necessary to be moved into that group. I'm not even sure if Pima County and the local jurisdictions that are having elections may not even be implementing this bifurcation in an election as we speak, because they probably weren't even aware that the decision would come down from the Attorney General's office. And so I don't even know whether they are at the local level administering the election in two groups right now. They may very well not be. And so what we're really trying to make sure that everybody's ready for are the elections in 2014, where we had the statewide and congressional races and things like that.
Secretary of State Ken Bennett is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Here is Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News.
Hey, just to clarify then, so if you use the federal registration system and you are you fall into those few thousand who did not provide ID, then you cannot vote in local and state races. Is that accurate?
For the 2014 election, I think that's correct, Dan. We're still working out all of those logistics with the counties. We've been talking about the possibility of having to go to this system, which none of us wanted to have to do. And now that the Attorney General has released the opinion that we probably do have to do this, we're talking with the counties about how we would do it, which elections it would begin being implemented in. Like I say, I haven't talked to Pima County officials and whatever local jurisdictions are having races right now. And so my guess is that it may not even affect an election that's occurring as we speak. So
So how many cases of non-citizens voting have we had in Arizona in the past few years?
Of non-citizens voting.
Right. In other words, they shouldn't be, but they are.
I think I'm aware of just a handful of those kinds of cases that have even been identified, because it's hard to identify if somebody is not a citizen, but through a false ID or whatever got registered. We don't do an ongoing check of the voters to see if they are a citizen. The initial process of registering to vote assumes or requires that the county has done that check. But if that check, you know, if they missed that or got it wrong or somebody slipped through, then once you're in the voter registration system, there's no way of knowing, is there 1% or 2% or 0.1% of the voters that are already registered that may not be citizens. There's not even a list of citizens that is kept by the federal or state governments that we could compare the voter registration list against to see, well, here's, you know, there's 3 million citizens in Arizona of voter age, and we have 3,010,000 registered, so that must mean that we have 10,000 non-citizens registered. So,
all right.
It's very difficult, because once people get registered, we assume that everything was verified.
12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Secretary of State Ken Bennett is with us. We'll continue with Secretary of State Bennett, talk about his recent announcement that he is officially a candidate for governor for the state of Arizona, that and more as we continue with our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Under the glowing glass of brilliant light, experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights. For the first time ever, premiering the wonders of Biosphere 2 at night with extended hours. Beginning Saturday, September 28th, join us for 5 straight Saturday nights for an exciting family adventure with activities that promote curiosity and creativity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admission. Kids 12 and under are free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Secretary of State Ken Bennett is with us. Mr. Bennett, also a Republican candidate for governor. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us from the Arizona Daily Star, and Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News. And we want to continue just a little bit more, Mr. Secretary, about this Arizona dual system for voting. Both Sarah and Dan had a couple of quick questions for clarification. Sarah, okay. Why don't you begin?
I want to just make sure that I understand and that listeners understand. We have in Tucson, we have a city election coming up in November. Does this go into effect for that?
I don't think so, Sarah. Like I say, I apologize. I had known that was one of the questions. I should have contacted the county recorder's office and found out whether they are planning to, which I don't think they are, to treat this block of voters differently, because it really has just kind of come up on us in the last few days as to the Attorney General's decision or opinion that we have to segregate these groups.
I think begs the question, if who makes the final determination? Is that you and your office as Secretary of State, the top election official, or is that FN Rodriguez as the county recorder? What are voters supposed – how are we supposed to know if our votes are going to count?
Well, in Pima County, FN Rodriguez is the ultimate decision maker as to who is registered to vote in Pima County. We do not keep the official record of registered voters in the state of Arizona here at the Secretary of State's office. We have a statewide voter database that was required as part of the Help America Vote Act, 10 or 12 years ago. So we do, all of the counties, as they process new registrations or changes each day, all of that is sent to the statewide voter database computers here at the Capitol nightly. But the original records in each county are kept by the local county recorder. So it's really Ms. Rodriguez's decision as to whether somebody is fully registered to vote in state and local elections in Pima County.
So does that mean that Pima County could have a different circumstance than Maricopa or Gila? Will we have a patchwork of county-to-county voting practices?
That's what we're working through right now, is that having just now received this opinion, I'm not going to, even though state law and the Constitution identifies the Secretary of State as the chief elections official in the state of Arizona, I always like to point out to people that the state of Arizona does not own one piece of equipment to print a ballot or count a ballot. We do not keep the original records of the registered voters. All of those are done at each county level. Now, we have state laws that all counties are supposed to follow. We have the elections procedures manual that is approved every 2 years by my office and is approved also by the Attorney General and the Governor's office. And it used to be the Federal Department of Justice also had to approve that. And so we do a lot of things. And we have ongoing training. We've got hundreds of people in classes literally as we speak over here in Maricopa County being trained, election officials from all over the state, on how we're going to run elections and try to make sure that they're done the same way throughout the state. So for this decision to come down right in the middle of Pima County administering whatever local elections are going on there, it would really be up to Pima County probably to say we have time or we don't have time or we're not set up or we are to administer this change right now. And my guess is that they're probably not.
Mr. Secretary of State, we have
right now.
FN Rodriguez was listening to the show and she just called in. She'd
Good.
Like to join in. Let's go to FN. Go ahead.
Thank you, Secretary Bennett. I just thought, you know, I was listening to you and I just make some clarification. And yes, you're absolutely correct. We have not spoken on this one. In Pima County, we've been flagging these voters that have used the national form since the 2012 election. So we know which citizens have met all the qualifications and those citizens that have not. In Pima County, we have probably less than 500 voters that are impacted in this category. Most of them, as you said earlier, on the national form had provided the driver's license for us. So we were able to verify that one when we loaded up our data file every night to the Secretary of State's office, and then you bump it up to motor vehicle. We've also, when that didn't work, we also sent a letter of communication to these voters saying we still need some form of ID, especially when you're requesting an early ballot. So we have flagged those voters, but the vast majority, and I'm saying it's less than 0.1%, voters are impacted here in Maricopa County. No, Maricopa County, they've indicated they have about 900. Pima County, we probably have less than 500. So all voters out here have been processed through. We have been flagging them. As right now, the city of Tucson has an all ballot by mail, and we have some jurisdictional elections. And those voters that have requested a ballot by mail have already passed the ID requirement, and we'll be able to flag them when they come in at the polling sites that they need to present an ID. Excuse me. This hasn't been an ongoing process that we have done in this county. I can't speak for the other county, but since Maricopa has about 900 and I have about 500, you know, like I said, it's probably less than 0.1%.
FN, thank you very much.
I just wanted to give clarity. Thank you, and nice to talk to you.
Thanks, FN.
Not a problem.
Thanks a lot. FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder, calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line. We wanted to also talk about your bid for governor, but I think if it's okay with you, Dan Scheer has another quick question on this the voting situation. Then when we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit more with you. Would that work out okay?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, go ahead, Dan.
Okay, take us back to 2004 when the voters decided they want a proof of citizenship for people to vote. Why was that done? And now 10 years later, was it really the problem we thought it was?
Why was it done? I was. There were folks that were concerned that without proof of citizenship at the voter registration process, and without proof of ID, showing kind of a picture ID or two forms of ID where your name and address match at the polls when you get there to vote, that without those steps, there were some groups that felt that we could have people getting into the voter registration system that might not be citizens. And so they put the question on the ballot to the voters of Arizona: should we require verification or proof of citizenship in order to register to vote? And should we require ID at the polls in order to verify that this really is the person who is voting under that name? And the voter said yes. And as I said earlier to your question, Dan, you know, once a person is registered to vote, because there's no list of citizens that you can run that list against periodically to see, is there somebody in the voter list that's not a citizen? I guess this group felt that maybe we had to do maybe an extra step or be extra diligent at the front end to do everything we could to make sure that only citizens were getting registered to vote. Did it solve all the problems that they might have wanted to solve or prevent? Probably nothing is perfect in the sense of catching everything before the mistake has happened or that. But I think every person who either voted for or against Prop 200 would have their own opinion as to whether it did what it was supposed to do or not.
All right, Mr. Secretary of State Ken Bennett, we are again asking you, and thank you very much for sticking around after the break, because we do want to talk a little bit about your bid for governor of the state of Arizona. Also, an update on the World War II memorial that you have worked
sure.
so
Love
hard
to
about. That. So all of that is coming up, so stay with us. We will be right back on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. One Republican senator says he's more optimistic now than he has been in the past 2 weeks. Mike Johanns of Nebraska spoke following a two-hour meeting between Senate Republicans and President Obama at the White House. And he's predicting that in the next few days, a plan put forward by House Republicans will kind of morph into a Senate plan. House GOP leaders offering a measure that would avoid default and end the partial government shutdown, but it also involves cuts in benefits programs. Today's accident involving a boat carrying migrants off the Italian island of Lampedusa appears to be far less deadly than the one last week in the same area that killed more than 300 people. Wall Street, the Dow is up about 90 points, the NASDAQ ahead 28, the S&P 8 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
12:34 now on the Buckmaster Show. We are extending our usual Friday focus interview just by a few minutes because there are some areas that we still wanted to cover with Secretary of State Ken Bennett. With me in studio, Sarah Garrett Gaston, The Star, and Dan Scheer, The Green Valley News. You have decided you are an official candidate, Secretary of State Bennett. Why did you decide to take the plunge?
Well, let me clarify, Bill. I intend to run for governor in 2014. I have said that by saying I will be a candidate in 2014 because up until a few weeks ago, there was a resign to run law that if I officially said I was a candidate, I had to resign, and I obviously don't want to do that. So I actually have not officially filed the paperwork as the official candidate. It's still in exploratory mode, but I believe that that'll probably happen, and we will officially launch the campaign probably in Tucson, as a matter of fact, within the next 30 days.
Okay.
But I am running, will be running for governor because I love this state. I'm a native. I was born there in Tucson, and I'm running to help people. I just, whether it's church or friends or people I see just out in the public, we've got a lot of work to do to get Arizona back to the kind of prosperity that I think its citizens deserve. We lost, 300,000 jobs during that recession period, and we've only recovered less than half of that. We've got people who are making $40,000 or $50,000 that have had to take $20,000 or $25,000 jobs or two of them to try to make ends meet. I want to make Arizona the most prosperous state in the nation. The second point is I want to have the best education system in the entire country, if not world. And then there's a couple of other areas related to having a healthy state and a safe state. Those are kind of my four areas. I want Arizona to be prosperous, best educated, healthiest, and safest.
All right. Here's Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News.
Well, a topic with a lot of interest down in Green Valley, the Guns to Salute the Fallen World War II Memorial in Phoenix. Can you give us a quick update on what's going on with that?
Yes, Dan. On December 7th, in a couple months, I guess, or less than 2 months now, we will be dedicating Arizona's official World War II memorial, which started out as a project to acquire the last remaining gun barrel from the battleship USS Arizona. And when we found out about the fact that the Navy had one remaining barrel from the Arizona, and we tried to acquire or see if they would give it to us to put it out here in the plaza next to the Capitol with the anchor and the masthead that we already have, we realized that we have a memorial here at the Capitol for every U.S. war except World War II. And I guess that kind of got overlooked because we had a couple of artifacts from the Arizona, and those were kind of maybe thought of as our de facto World War II memorial. But we've worked through the project over the last 2.5, almost 3 years. We couldn't get the Navy to give us just the Arizona barrel. They wanted to give us a barrel off of the battleship Missouri. I kept reminding them that I was from Arizona. And then finally, when I suggested that maybe they could give us one of each, they could give us the Arizona barrel and a Missouri barrel, and we would display them as kind of the bookends, one representing the beginning, one representing the end of the war, they got all excited about that and said, okay, I think we could probably do that. So they wouldn't give me one barrel, but they did give me two. And we have restored the barrels. And then an architectural company that was working with us as to how we would display the barrels came up with a wonderful idea to not display or honor the barrels. Let's use the barrels to salute the fallen men and women from Arizona who died in World War II from all the different branches of government. So in between the two barrels, we are constructing, as we speak, every day some of our employees go out and hang. We're constructing there's 9 steel beams that kind of come out of the ground, and on the side of those steel beams are some horizontal rods, and on each rod hangs a nameplate, a stainless steel nameplate, for each of the approximately 2,000 Arizonans who were killed in World War II. And they will individually be honored with their own nameplate. And when the wind blows, the nameplates kind of move. It looks like water or waves. It's stunning.
Great.
And so on December 7th, between 10 o'clock in the morning and noon, We invite any and all of your listeners to come up to the Capitol and be a part of the dedication of our official World War II memorial.
All right.
We hope to have a lot of veterans there and a lot of young people, elderly, and everybody in between.
Thank you very much for taking the lead on that, Secretary of State
and
Bennett.
And by the way, we've done it all with no tax dollars.
All right.
Well, no government funds were used in the process.
Thank you very much for spending part of your noon hour with us. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. And Dan and Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right. Coming up now on 1240 on the Buckmaster Show, it is now time for our Reporters Roundtable. And, of course, Sarah and Dan with me. It has been another week of the partial government shutdown. But for the people, Sarah, up at the Grand Canyon that are dependent on tourism dollars every day, as they say, the meter is running.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
And whether or not a portion of the Grand Canyon will be opened or not is still being worked out. I spoke with Andrew Wilder, the governor's press secretary spokesperson, yesterday and said they would like to have at least a partial opening that would be funded with some state money and some private money, but they really would like to be reimbursed, as was the case back in the last shutdown in the mid-90s when Governor Symington reopened the canyon.
Right. I don't think we can overstate how important the national parks are to Arizona, and specifically the Grand Canyon National Park. There have been protests, people, business owners, people who rely on the tourist traffic for their livelihood, especially along the South Rim, trying to bring attention to the dire financial circumstances mm-hmm. that this shutdown has put them in. And I think food banks in the Phoenix area are sending up emergency food boxes to folks who've been financially affected up in northern Arizona. It's something that needs – I mean, it's just one more reason that the shutdown needs to end ASAP.
It needs to end now, Dan Scheer.
Right, and we saw this in Utah this week where they struck a deal with the Interior Department to keep the national parks open there because they are so dependent on tourism. They basically have floated the federal government a loan. They will be reimbursed for it, but they are keeping the parks open up there.
You know – I believe that people really have had enough of this shutdown, and I think I'll speak personally. I really have had it with all this in many cases, kind of vile language that's being used to characterize who wins and finger pointing and who's going to blink first. You know, I don't really care about who's going to blink first. I want the government to do its job and open.
Yes. Yes. There have been lots of one of my frustrations in just how this whole thing is being covered is and how we think of it in these terms. I think it does a disservice. It's winners and losers, people who get their point across, people who don't. And really, the losers are all of us, especially the 800,000 people who are directly affected because they're federal workers who've been furloughed. I think that making a political point, my view is that it's rests on the shoulders of the Tea Party Republicans who are making this ideological point, really have a lot of apologizing and explaining to do to the people who whose paychecks are on hold, and it's just going to get worse.
And you wrote about in your column Thursday the language that at least one Arizona representative, State Representative Brenda Barton, a Republican from Prescott, calling the National Park Service National Park Service Rangers thugs who are carrying out the order of De Fuhrer.
Yes, and then she tried to backpedal after making Arizona once again a laughingstock nationally, trying to pretend that she wasn't referring to Hitler.
Yeah, I mean,
because we just used her Fuhrer just casually.
Where is this Institute of Civility that was formed after the shooting
Well, that's a great
in
question.
Tucson?
Yeah.
And I spoke to one of these rangers who's been whose job is to tell people sorry. And off the record, he just didn't want his name attached to this, but they are so frustrated. They feel like they're out there alone dealing with all these angry people, and they're just the boots on the ground people. These are they're doing what they're told. And this is a guy who specifically is currently working for free. He will be reimbursed, but he's out there, doesn't know when he'll get his next paycheck. It's frustrating for everybody.
Dan, switch gears here. You went to an incorporation meeting in Vail, the early voting, the mail-in. It's an all mail-in election.
Correct.
On incorporation.
Correct. This is a 3-year effort to incorporate Vail, and the early ballots actually are being mailed out. They'll probably hit the mailboxes on Tuesday. And what it means is that it would basically go from a community with Pima County being its first layer of government to a town with its own town council and mayor calling the shots. But when you call the shots, you pay for it. And so that's what the big debate is can we afford to become our own town right now? So there was a forum last night, one of many. It was quite lively, and there's a lot in favor and a lot against it, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more next week.
You are indeed. You will be holding down the fort. I will be off next Friday, and you have scheduled a debate.
Basically
on, we're going to hear both sides in this issue over incorporation. Is there any kind of feeling that is it pretty much split, or what are you hearing?
I would tell you that, we had this in Sarita 19 years ago, and it passed by 13 votes. And and Sarita was, if you look at it, the town back then was in a lot less, was not in a very good shape to take this on. Vail is in much better shape. If you were to ask me which direction I think it'll go, I think it'll pass.
Okay, that's Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. We will have that next Friday at the top of the program on the Buckmaster Show, talking about the Vail incorporation. Pretty big story, kind of wrapping up this whole thing about the Rio Nuevo investigation. Sarah, I mean, it seems like this has been going on forever.
Because it has.
A lot of elected officials, including the former mayor, Bob Walkup, who was on the program even a couple of months ago. He had said emphatically that there would be – that this report would show that, yes, I guess there was mismanagement, but no criminal charges.
Right. And apparently you can waste and fritter away and just bumble through spending, was it $240 million?
Yeah. And to be fair on that number, there is a fair bit of infrastructure that
yes.
actually was it wasn't all $240 or $250 million wasted, but there were some projects that never got off the ground and money that was wasted.
That is absolutely true. Very very good point. Yeah, it's one of these things that yes, it was disgusting that all this money was basically thrown away on things like the Rainbow Bridge and things that were interesting ideas but went on far too long without any hope of practically existing or coming to pass. But when it boiled down to it, it didn't rise to the level of criminal activity. So at least as the way – under the way the law is structured now. So we're turning the page, I guess, on this, and it is done.
I just
done.
Did. I
you did. Bill actually
just
did right there.
Just as you
there.
Were saying that, I was turning the page on this story. So I don't know. Let's move on beyond Rio Nuevo, right?
Yes, the damage has been done. So I think it's something that's maybe not rise to the level of criminal activity, but the damage and the legacy of Rio Nuevo is here to stay.
And watching it from afar, Dan Scheer.
Yeah, real far, and that's what we like down there, I tell you. But yeah, lots of records lost, and people don't remember certain facts and whatever, and I agree, it probably didn't rise to the level of being criminal activity, but the whole thing really is a crime of sorts.
Any any idea of the Rosemont issue has been delayed even even before the shutdown. And, of course, we had the partial shutdown affected really all departments of the government, including food inspectors, as we have a salmonella outbreak currently going on here in the West. But how will it impact perhaps the Rosemont situation?
Well, remember, Rosemont's been out there for, what, 7 years or so, and so this could delay it a couple more months, but only if the shutdown is prolonged. So we're waiting for the Forest Service to come up with that environmental impact statement, and they're supposed to come up with it in I think it's November, and then that would launch us into a period of public comment. So we'll see if it's delayed. It could be, but again, it just depends on how long the shutdown goes. But yeah, right now there's probably nobody working on it.
And quickly, the Star editorial, South Tucson's law protecting racing dogs should stand. Sarah, do you know if they actually have moved forward on that or what?
I don't know the latest on that, but it is.
What was your bottom line?
Basically, that the voters of South Tucson and then subsequently Tucson and Pima County have said that you can't feed really disgusting, horrible meat to greyhounds, and you can't inject them with steroids because it's all bad for their health in many, many different ways.
All right. So we'll see what the city of South Tucson, one square mile city of South Tucson, decides to do. That's going to do it for our Friday Reporters Roundtable Weekend Watch with Matt Russell's coming up. Dan Scheer, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Sarah Garrett-Gaston, I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks a lot.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit LisaFogelDentalEssentials.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Okay, here we go with the weekend. That music, of course, on the Buckmaster Show means the weekend has officially begun. Brought to you by Weekend Watch, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Historic Silver City, one of America's top 100 arts communities. And this weekend over in Silver, it's the Red Dot Gallery Tour. So all of the art galleries in Silver City will be celebrating at the Red Dot Gallery Tour. You can find out more about it at southwestnewmexico.org. Just three and a half hours east of Tucson, and you can stay at some great places, including Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest houses, again at southwestnewmexico.org. Big food weekend in Tucson. And speaking of food, this man knows. He's always ready for a good meal, and he seems to be always hungry inside. Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday. You know, I was just telling Rose, your producer, that this is just one of those days, Bill, that I woke up and it was just a beautiful day. I did not even want to go into the office today. I wanted to commence with my culinary and cocktail encounters, but, you know, Russell Public clients expect me to be here, and here I am, slaving away at the office until, what do you say, 1 o'clock today?
Yeah, maybe 5 minutes more. I know you woke up with hunger pains, and, of course, besides the well-publicized Tucson Meet Yourself, which is also known as Tucson Eat Yourself, there's a lot of taco stuff going on in town.
Yeah, sure is. You know, and we love Cerveza's Taco Garage and how they really have satisfied our lunch and happy hour and certainly our dinner cravings. But the garage is now open for breakfast on the weekends from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays. This looks like a great menu to start the day, Bill, featuring breakfast tacos and breakfast burritos, carne asada and chorizo with eggs, even their own take on chicken and waffles with agave syrup, all washed down with $2 Bloody Marys. These guys fix hungry, and Cerveza's Taco Garage gets my pick for breakfast this weekend at both their Tucson locations.
Yeah, it's doubtful that anyone ever goes away hungry after that kind of a breakfast.
For sure.
Jonathan's Cork, a fixture here in town.
Absolutely. Follow your nose on Saturday at noon over to Jonathan's Cork on Tanca Verde for their annual chili cook-off, which raises money for Send a Kid to Camp. Now, local chefs are going to be featuring their own chili for sampling and judging, and what a variety they'll be, from mellow and mild to others that I know are going to bring the heat. I think some of the restaurants that will be serving up the goodness on Saturday are Dakota Bar and Grill and the Hawk Pit Smokehouse, Kingfish, or even Pastiche has got a chili they want you to try. $10 gets you in the door for this delicious chili event on Saturday at noon, all for a great cause over at Jonathan's.
And how about the Tucson Children's Museum?
Yeah, after you get your chili fix on Saturday afternoon, we want you to head over to the Children's Museum Tucson on Saturday night for their annual evening of play. Now, this is a grown-ups-only evening. to raise money for the museum, and they're going to be featuring live artistic performances, playfully inspired libations, and delicious culinary creations from some of Tucson's best chefs. Now, 1 year, Bill, they even served scotch and s'mores, which is my kind of campfire. Go to childrensmuseumtucson.org for ticket information and plan for one of the most unique events I've ever seen here in Tucson.
Yeah, there's no excuse this weekend for folks saying there's no variety of choices, food
Indeed.
Choices this weekend. What's in the column this week in Inside Tucson Business?
Well, we take a look at a bourbon dinner that the PY Steakhouse is going to be featuring on October the 18th, and we're learning how bourbon can really be a culinary companion, really bringing out some great flavors of the bourbons and the great flavors of the dishes over at the PY Steakhouse. Pick up a copy of Inside Tucson Business today, and you can read all about it.
Have a
great event.
Have a great weekend, Matt.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan Better Water, pure and simple Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan, for supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice, chilled bottle of Culligan water. Everybody likes it, and who wouldn't? Culligan simply tastes better. John C. Scott Show this afternoon, 3 to 5, here on KVOI. Wake Up Tucson, Monday morning, 6 to 8. But in between, there's all sorts of expert talk, starting with Phil Cedar tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with all those good gardening tips. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, my lovely and talented, I call her the Ace, Ace producer Rosemary Brandt. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.